Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord. Amen. A rather short text this morning. Brother Mark read my text, which was long beforehand, and I just want to conclude by reading the verse 31. And may I ask that congregation would rise. And words are, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak first of all of a kid, young kid, third grader, of whom I would like to say the happiest kid on the block. It was not because he had a bicycle to go around and sell what he wanted people to hear, and the cause why he was on a mission. But the very cause itself moved in his heart as a young lad. That is pleasing to God. It was in the news, I don't know how many read about it, but 9-year-old boy being in a school lunch line, in front of him was a young lad who didn't have enough money on his account. And instead of getting a full meal, he only got a cheese sandwich. That kind of struck my heart because, having grown up in Finland and under somewhat difficult situations after war, how important the growth of a child and food and medical care and home stability is to a child. And Finland, though it was poor after the war and paying restitution to Russia, saw fit that the little children would have food while in school. There was not a question whether one would have enough money on his account to get a meal. It was simply that people, as they gave, were willing to sacrifice for school children that no one is hungry, and also saw that medical care, the shots, and a dental care, till quite late in 10 years, was taken care of. This young lad saw this boy. And the report is not what did he really see, but his heart went for that boy because he only got a cheese sandwich. He went home and told his mother about it. And together they worked out the plan. And in short time, through medias that are available, the know-how today, including young children, they established a fund. In a short time, $7,000 was raised. All students would have enough funds that no one would get a cheese sandwich. And this is still going on. But this young lad, beside using computers and means, personally went with his bicycle to the neighborhood to bring the cause of God to people. This should not happen to any child. Another story I'd like to share with you And that comes from Russia, Leo Tolstoy, who actually at a young age wrote War and Peace, a well-known novel. I have not read it myself, but I have read enough that it was a novel well purchased and used by people. He was well-to-do aristocrat in Russia. There was no need as to scrape food. He had everything that a successful man would need to be happy. Soon after, two of his children died. I do not know the circumstances, but two of them died. And he went into a despondency. He lost zest for life. What am I here for? What's the purpose of my life? The wealth that he had did not satisfy his soul. Then, most likely being a Russian Orthodox person, God works mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. In church language, we call it conversion. This rich man, successful, and perhaps envied by multitudes. Entered into a workforce. Early in the morning, he would go to fields and earn wages like a common laborer. What he earned, he gave to the poor. And he found joy and meaning to his life. Later on, as an old man, reading his own diary, what he had done as a young man, temptation came as a writer that I would polish some of those actions, erase them, as to say they had a better picture of me. But being a man of truth before God, he simply wrote, "Let them be as they are." There are people who read about me, my life story, can read how merciful and gracious God is. From the beginning of the Bible, we read how God created all things for his own pleasure. Everything that he did was good, including the crown of his creation, the man. The man that he created, put together from red dirt. He named him Adam. As what we may say, a human being. With him was a helpmate taken from his side. Everything Garden of Eden was furnished for happy life. But as God, who is a creator and owner of everything, is also in charge of everything. There are laws that are established by God. Whether it comes to things that are way beyond our understanding in a universe, of which glimpses are seen to make us wonder and to be in awe. There's order. Even our time to minute milliseconds are ordered by these things. In the Garden of Eden, likewise, they are laws. Yes, you are tenants in my garden, Adam and Eve. Everything is furnished for your life to be happy in my presence. But one thing, because I am a creator, there's order. There's this tree that you cannot eat of. And that tree, we read, is beautiful to look at. And the fruit is like inviting, take me, take me. But God has said, don't eat of it. The rest of the story lies simply as disobedience entered in. That relationship that man had with God was destroyed. And God has said, you will die. And the death that took place really is something that we can as a mortals fathom when someone whose name is love, that there's disobedience against that which is good. We don't have an understanding the pain and the depth, how far it reached to the heart of God when a man fell into sin, rebellion against God. And that does not mean when man was cast out or driven out. He was driven out with a promise. But he was nevertheless driven out from being a tenant of a garden. And now he faced that he has to make his living by toiling. Sweat of his brow, you will eat your bread. And much what you're reaping depends how much effort you put into it. But the sin has also brought shortcomings and shortcuts to make a living. When God blesses good crops and provides rain, year after year, not many kneel before the field or by the field when they plant the crop seed. But give a famine years, a few years, and when you cast a seed grain, and your children are crying for bread, you learn to pray. It is a little bit like there are no atheists in foxholes. Man being outside is not without religion. Neither is his life absent to the acute need of another. But he presses aside because he has become selfish. He lives for himself. And the very thing that God is not anymore portrayed from a man whom God had created to his image. And God simply says, he said, they were created. And when he talks about future and things to come, he speaks a word. But a man in his life don't take that word seriously. Because he has support how to live. And he lives for the present. Happiness is a byproduct of serving others. It is not given through things. It has its moment, apex or whatever, a height, like in drugs, but it wears old after much usage. And I may say this, this is also a great danger amongst the young that are growing with their hormones. when they are given a license to do whatever they please. The very beautiful things that belong to marriage are now being abused, possessive. They take a line which kills and hurts because of selfishness. There is none of that in God. Jesus came. God simply came and emptied himself. Emmanuel, God manifested in flesh. You could see God. You could touch God. You could listen. You see the miracles. But who pays attention to what he is saying? And when he speaks to Pharisees and to his disciples, it is like a New Testament word, avoid, run away from covetousness. And that simply means living for yourself. Run away. Don't let those things possess you, that you become perverted and drunk with success, with adrenaline that runs through your vein because it feels so good. Because sanity is that you're happy in the Lord, to be content whether you have or whether you don't. The richest things that you possess are enlarged to your heart. And that is that you love God, what he has done for you, and what now you can do to your neighbor, whether he's good or bad. If we greet those that greet us, if we love those that love us, what difference are you from those that are outside? That's what people practice. That's how we divide ourselves into groups. Not putting a feather in my heart, but as you well know, I'm struggling with kidney stone problem. It is something that is chronic. Right now I feel good, but Lord knows. Earthen vessel is very frail. Age is against you. But that which is inside is being renewed. When I saw a specialist probably 6 months ago in Marquette, Dr. Park, and then I had to go and have some lab work done. Whatever, there was a medical student working in a lab, taking my blood, and I just commented to her how well she done her job. It was just, many have like a gift of God to do that. And I mentioned to her a young woman, very efficient. And I just mentioned to her prayerfully that you're studying to be a doctor. As to say that what lies ahead is most likely success in the steps of a society. But remember, I don't think I said even that. I just say that for the happiness for life, the joy of your job is to serve others. And she stopped for a while. and she thanked me for it. It's so odd in a way when she went her way with her wiles and I went the other way, and how there was that, like a connection that you have touched another human being with eternal values. Pharisees loved money. There are many successful pastors, so to speak, who love money and success. Recently there was a picture coming from Finland, a president that was before Putin, just a decoy more or less for a time period that Putin could get back in. But even so, he lives in a house that is beyond our imagination. Putin is one of the world's richest men himself, partner to this philosophy. And in Texas, there's a mega church that has perhaps 50,000 members, and a pastor lives like there's no tomorrow. I ask you, my dear listener, this morning, what can you really say that is yours? Is the body you live in, where your soul is that yours? Did you put that together? Did you put the dimensions? Now, what will you say, beauty or average beauty into it? Did you choose to have bald head or lots of hair? Did you choose to have a thin legs or stubby legs? But let's go a little further. Who has put love into your heart that you sacrifice for your children? Who has put love into your heart that you're forgiven? Forgiving spirit toward your mate. And you put best construction, whatever he does or she does. Who has put that there? You find faults. I was touched this morning in a Sunday school opening, and I don't think that it is to be kept private as such, because a little child, a little hard of hearing, not only little but much, and the children speak so timidly, so softly, so quietly, that I pray like, Lord, let me hear what they are saying. And a little girl is saying, I don't have a dad. I don't have a father. My father and mother are divorced. How do I go home and do some good deed to my dad? To tell him I love him. These are the realities. And the Pharisees are being pointed out, and there's enough in each one of us who love money. An illustration of this rich man who uses God's gift to him to bless others. To have compassion for one who is brought to him very close, which is a miracle in itself. It's a miracle when God brings someone in need to your presence, because you did not choose that, but God did. And his message is to find you out and that you will find out who you really are. That you're really a thief. You're a tenant, but you're stealing from God. Because what you have is temporary. But it is given for you to be a blessing. And if you are blessed and understanding, you use these things. What we may say in sanctified spirit. Nothing to a Christian person is secular. As to an unbeliever, secular, even the holy things become secular. He judges them by his warped mind that I am the master. And God brings a fact. For a period of time, you're tested, come to your senses. You're drunk and you're a thief. This is not what God is. Neither is he worshipped in this that you can say, God has blessed me. Temporarily happy, but always wanting more. And there comes Leo Tolstoy. I found my happiness when I served the poor. In Sweden, God forbid, a clock is gone, so I have to come to a close. But in Sweden, Princess Eugenia, we have 102 words of her hymns, in our hymnal. A young lady, a princess. This is now more than 150 years back. She, maybe 120 years back, I'm taking a little leverage here. Doesn't belong to me. But even so that she sold her jewelry. And she had a building built in northern Sweden for the poor. And when opening day came, and these poor people, some sickly and elderly and so forth, line up the hallway. How big the building is, I don't really know. But when she walked amongst those people, they were crying. And from their tears, she said, I have received my jewels back. Happiness is a byproduct. We value people that have means. But God looks. Means are given for a purpose. They are not for selfish use. And God forbid that the young woman will say, being pregnant, not wanting a child, will say, it's my body. Forgive me saying that sarcastically, but it is painful. It is not her body. Neither a life that I now live is not my life. It's been purchased. By blood of God. That I would not live for myself. But to learn from Jesus. Who emptied himself and became a servant. And doing that, he had joy. The word, I will conclude. This rich man in his Hades was to justify himself. More or less that if you send some miracle from the dead, people will believe, my brothers will believe. And isn't that what we want? Signs. And God simply says, I have sent. That's the bottom line. When on a Mount of Transfiguration, a voice was heard by three disciples. They heard a voice. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Therefore, these words. This rich man carried them, but they were not sufficient because he had no respect for God's order of things. And God's order of things is, you are your brother's keeper. He is part of you. There's much more, but I'm going to quit. If we are not faithful in the little things, how can he trust us with great things? And these little things are what we often count as trivial. And yet God has put together things as small as the beginnings. And don't despise them. Because before you realize, they grow and they take over. And Christianity at that point is selfless, lightless. And we are called to be light and salt. And it is demonstrated in our transactions. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these living words, the challenging words, to bring us to the heart of Jesus, what he saw in people and in their success, and how he prayed for his disciples that you would not love the things of the world, but you would love the will of God and apply your lives, whatever possession is and whatever means you have, as to further this kingdom message, what God is like, God of light and truth and full of mercy. Help us, O Lord, to be merciful, kind, persevering, and, Lord, give us self-control. We ask in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.